We have a question from the audience. This question is from Rajiv Narang. Rajiv wants to know if the concentration of content and distribution is in a fewer large hands. What does this mean for the role of smaller non-global studios, and how will it affect content creation?
This is Josh Goldsteiner. I'll take one version of it, and then I'll let the creative people on the phone actually answer in a different way. Listen, I think it is a challenge that there is sort of power consolidating, but I also think that there's something the distribution is actually getting more democratized. And the hope is that as more distribution channels and more digital distribution channels become accessible and the internet becomes the sort of the hub in which those distribution channels can be operated around, that hopefully it'll create greater potential for more niche movies to find niche audiences around the world. I think the other thing that you're also seeing is that as these companies also try to expand, they're expanding internationally. And one thing that I think is a very positive trend that you see is that in expanding internationally, you're seeing a lot more international production. You're seeing a lot more sort of people, you know, countries telling their own stories and telling stories for their own cultures. And I think that hopefully in this process that, yes, there is some consolidation that is happening, but hopefully there's also some democratization and some opening up of the aperture so that there's greater opportunities for storytellers to connect with audiences in new and exciting ways.
Yeah, hi, this is Phil. I mean, Josh, I certainly hope you're right. I mean, because that's an ideal scenario. I mean, I am concerned that actually isn't the case, and that the companies with the really deep pockets who can afford to take essentially major losses, like Amazon and Netflix, like buying, you know, hundreds of million dollar movies or producing giant movies just to put on their streaming channel like they would anything, sort of narrows the field of new players. Now, possibly, and I hope that you were right, that smaller little, you know, streaming people can get into the business of sort of doing these global pickups and things like that. But I worry that the behemoths are becoming just what they are, almost monopolizing it.
Phil, just as a follow-up, you know, you worked on Ozark. How expensive is that show? Is it something that someone small can't do, or is it really so expensive it can only be done by a large institution?
No, I mean, Ozark and I mean, these shows are expensive. I mean, shows are expensive now. Like, there used to be a time, you know, 10 years ago when, you know, you would spend, you know, $2.5-3 million on an hour of television, and that was considered sort of like up there. And then, of course, it slowly migrated to $5 million. And now for a show like Ozark, I mean, it's upwards of $6, $7, $8 million an episode for an hour of television. I'm only surmising. If it's not Ozark that's spending $8 million an episode, it's shows like Ozark that's spending $8 million an episode. So those are giant shows. You know, Queen's Gambit, that has to be in that range, every bit of it, if not more. And a lot of these shows are producing their series overseas, like Queen's Gambit. Sort of a mandate for that show is it's not going to be shot in the U.S. So they shot everything in Berlin, with the exteriors of Kentucky and Toronto. So, and that's because of all the differences in fringe benefits for actors and crews and all those things and residuals and all those things that add up to what the after expense of a show really is. And things like that happen all the time. So yes, it's very expensive.